Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to philosophy. What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
philosophy. Oh my god, man, I am so bloody pissed.
Eki and I have just been through an absolute ordeal.
Yeah, man, it's like there was something we wanted to fix on the podcast. One thing we've been doing, it's like taking one day at a time and improving in small increments.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we wanted to take out a small hiss that we noticed.
Yeah, we noticed that sometimes when we listen to the podcast, there's a hiss in the background.
Yeah, and we thought it was the fan that's under the computer. But no, it's actually, we don't know what, but we know how to take it out because of YouTube. The only problem is...
it's just... Man, it's taken us like an hour to figure this out.
I wonder if it's like that for tutorials of everything. Like sort of like, I mean, like, you know, like makeup tutorials, like a lot of people that do makeups. I wonder if it's like a 10-minute tutorial, but the first 5 minutes is the person saying like, oh, you can buy my products here. I've been doing makeup since I was 3 years old. Because that's literally how tutorials work on YouTube. It's like, hi, my name is John. I've been doing this for about 100. Like, bro, where is my answer?
I also do think there needs to be some level of responsibility from us, whereby we had a very specific thing we wanted fixing.
Exactly.
And it wasn't immediately available to us, and we were annoyed.
Yes and no. So I was telling you about this. There's a one thing that with learning, right? They say that the ideal state for you to learn in is when your mind is in a flow state because of this guy. I forgot. It's Mikael Csikszentmihalyi. I can't pronounce his name. But he has a book called Flow.
Is he Welsh?
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I'll show you the name and you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. Because none of us is going to manage to read it. But he was like a psychiatrist and I think like a really good sort of like did a lot of research on this. So I find this book. I think it's called Superman something something by Stephen Kotler. And this guy is making like the commercial, like, yeah, this book is going to change. Your mind is going to get into flow state. I'm like, yes, I got this. I started listening to the audiobook. And this guy is going on and on and on and on of why flow states are good. I'm like, great, they're good. I know. That's why I bought the book. Then it goes on and how he found this out, how he was sick. And then one day he got into flow. I'm like, bro, how do I get it to flow? and I just stopped listening to the audiobook. I was like, okay, I'll just learn in non-flow state. I'll figure it out on my own. It's so preposterous.
We found one tutorial though that answered our issue very to the point.
Yeah.
And we praised that man. It was literally like, here is the problem. Here is a solution.
One minute.
This is how you go and fix it.
Yeah, amazing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it's a silver lining because we didn't really have a topic to talk about. And now we've decided to talk about learning, specifically around jiu-jitsu.
Exactly.
So, Eki, how do you effectively learn when it comes to jiu-jitsu?
So, I find it extremely overwhelming, the amount of things that we have to learn in jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts are static. Like, for example, if you're learning how to sweep someone inside your guard.
Uh-huh.
There are certain things that in the beginning, they're static, but as you progress, it's like you got to keep learning while your body is moving, mm-hmm. and you got to keep solving problems all the time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been focusing a lot, and we've talked about this before, it's understanding the principles, the major principles about what is happening.
The concepts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. In each situation. And then trying to connect that to new techniques that you're learning.
Yeah.
So it's almost like starting with the bigger picture and then putting the pieces together around that. If it doesn't make sense in the bigger picture, it's like, how does this make sense in the bigger picture? So understanding the big stuff and then going small to the details.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah. Jiu-jitsu is overwhelming, like vastly overwhelming. Like, I think Coach once gave an example about judo. Like, judo, you learn X amount of throws, X amount of these, X amount of that, and then, like, then you're good to go, and you drill, and you practice, and you do all those. Like, jiu-jitsu just has, like, a wealth of knowledge. Mm. And, like, there's always something new coming along, like half guards in fashion, or lapel guard, and worm guard, and collar sleeve, like Della Hiva. There's always these things that are coming along, and there's new variations and new tactics. But, like, you listen to the old school guys, and they're like, just focus on the basics. But concepts is like a massive one. Like, I think you and I were talking once about like sweeping someone. You take away one pillar of base and you push them towards where there is no base. Mm-hmm. They will fall. Like, it's just, it's that simple.
Another thing that I noticed, it's there are things that are fancy, mm-hmm. right? Like, I love leg locks, right? Really fancy, but learning the fancy things before learning the basics,
yeah,
I mean, it can get you in trouble. Like, imagine, like, if you're like at a black belt level and you know how to leg lock everybody but you can't pass guard, that is like
but do you think leg locks are fancy? Hmm? I wouldn't put leg locks in a fancy bracket.
I think as a white belt they are fancy.
As a white belt, yeah, but I think that's more because you need, I think that might be, and I'm happy to be corrected by people here if they want to comment. We won't read them, but feel free to send them in. Mm-hmm. I think that's down to levels of ability and the dangers that come with, like, mm-hmm. a heel hook. So, like, if you look at, and we're all guilty of this, like, any white belt that, like, grabs a submission, they're gonna put 100% effort into finishing that submission. That's dangerous. Like, if you're trying to crank it or yank it just to get the tap, that's not jiu-jitsu. That's not true. Controlling someone and effectively holding them in a place where there is no other option, where you just lean back on an armbar, raise your hips, and they tap. That's jiu-jitsu, not wildly scrambling for an armbar. So I think with a heel hook, because there is such a high level of risk to the knee, and it comes on, by the time it starts hurting, it's too late. You need to understand the mechanics in order to be like, I need to tap, or actually I'm okay. So I think I think leg locks can fall into the same bracket as an armbar in terms of fanciness, but you have to have a certain level of advanced knowledge to understand the dangers of them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Before we go on, I want to just like send a shout out to all the listeners that are non-jiu-jitsu practitioners that listen to the podcast.
Who are okay, let's do some jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Let's do some jiu-jitsu.
So in a sense, in jiu-jitsu, there is this thing where you're pretty much attacking all the time, in a way, like, because it's like you can attack from your back, so with your back on the floor.
Yeah,
it's one of the few martial arts I'm not aware of others that you can submit anybody while your back is against the floor.
Yeah,
and there are techniques where you attack the legs and mm-hmm. you attack the upper body. Throughout history, it's been more people attack more the upper body, right? Mm-hmm. And recently, the leg locks have been getting
yeah, and it's attention. Like a big thing as well. Like, so Peter, you know, we were chatting to Ross the other day, yeah. and he was like, even just doing like a straight ankle lock was seen as like dirty, or like you yeah. didn't do it. Whereas now for us, I guess in the newer generation of jiu-jitsu guys, leg locks have just gone through, and in a huge part, thanks to the Danaher Death Squad, they've just had an explosion where it's like they're undervalued. You have to hit a heel hook or a leg lock or attack the legs. Which is so strange to consider them being viewed in that way, to now being such a prevalent part. But I do remember listening to Joe Rogan's podcast with Jean-Jacques Machado, mm-hmm. where he does talk about the fact that you will learn heel hooks, it will come, but you do have to be just a bit extra careful with them, and he doesn't teach them before a certain belt.
I remember when I learned leg locks for the first time, it is literally like I discovered gold.
Oh. When it's half the body that you're neglecting, and when someone opens it up, it's like jiu-jitsu all over again.
Because it's like you're beginning, yeah. and you get someone who's been training for longer than you, yeah. and they didn't expect it. Because especially because you're beginning, how do you know like an intermediate
move? Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
like, and it's like, oh my god, this worked. Yeah. And I think when it comes to learning new things, that might be not so beneficial in the long run, meaning I could do leg locks all day, yeah. And then it's just like I become the leg lock guy. But when I get to a level where everyone understands every single thing that is going on, that one trick is just out the window, right?
Yeah. I see what you mean. I think leg locks in particular have to become part of your jiu-jitsu knowledge at some point. Do we need to do any more explanation for people that don't do jiu-jitsu? I feel like that's enough.
Yeah.
Like a quick Google of like an arm bar will show you what an arm bar is. It's basically hyperextending a straight arm to put pressure on the elbow joint, which if you don't tap will eventually cause your elbow to extend the wrong way and break.
Exactly.
A heel hook is slightly more complicated in that the pressure, although it's called a heel hook, the pressure is actually applied to the knee. So you are pushing the knee in one way whilst you hook the outside of the heel. You can also hook the inside and push it in the opposite way. And essentially, if you don't know that it's on and you don't tap, your knee basically tears to pieces.
You can Google this. Like it's not pretty. It's hard to also explain it in a way that you can picture it. So, yes, learning, I think also I think with jiu-jitsu and many other things, I think that is a model that we've accepted mostly, which is, for example, for the most part, most people go to school, right? Yeah. So I think that approach, that's our introduction to how we learn things in a controlled environment, right?
Yeah.
And that is a big emphasis on you work out throughout the year how things are going, sort of you get marks, you get assistance, and then you get a mark and that represents how you do it.
Yeah.
In jiu-jitsu,
very different.
It's almost like you get in a one class.
Yeah.
And everyone is like in different
because depending on where you come, and I'm going to speak now from our experience, but also genuinely this is reflected across a lot of jiu-jitsu classes. Jiu-jitsu is so vast, like it is massive. So you really do have to boil it down to certain areas where you can develop a base level and a ground level of knowledge. And usually that's done, I guess, you could start from lots of guards, but mostly you start from closed guard, which is essentially one guy on his back with his legs wrapped around another guy who's on his knees. And that's genuinely where you start. And from there, you learn how to sweep your opponent, which means ultimately pushing them over and you coming up to the top. Attacks as well, so you could go from there. That's sometimes where you start. But the thing is, that's like the tiniest little portion of a huge game. And you could go into a gym, sign up, get your gi, pay your membership, step on the mats, and they might not be starting at closed guard. They might be starting at side control or mount or open guard or any of the other like massive variations like the back or whatever. And you then have to go through the cycle that your professor is teaching until you come all the way back. And it's really influential, I actually think. So you may start at closed guard. I may have started on the back. And then you have to go all the way around all the other stuff, like the big circle, which can take up to 6 months until you've touched on everything. And then you then have to think, okay, do I have to go all the way around again? Or do I have to focus on specifics? And jiu-jitsu can be kind of overwhelming in that way. Because the other thing is, you're probably getting smashed 24/7, like constantly.
And as you're improving, it's not like everybody's just sitting around waiting, like, oh, he's getting better.
Like, oh, you don't know back right now? Well, this ain't going to be fun for you.
Exactly. One thing that I noticed also, it's at least things that I learned from jiu-jitsu about learning that I found transferable to other areas of my life and other things that I'm learning. One is being in an academy where everyone else is also learning.
Yeah,
and that is this. It's a very individual sport, but it's also shared as a team where my progress is important to your progress. The better I get, the better you get.
Yeah,
and being in that environment where that's incentivized.
Sort of
me fighting my best fight. It means that you have to catch up. That was one thing. It's like being in environments like that. The second one was as a. It's almost like there's like an inside world and an outside one. One that is like the mental side of it. Because it's very frustrating when you're doing everything right and it's not working, right? Yeah. And the idea of
or you don't even know what to do. Exactly. And some guy's putting it on you and you haven't been shown mount escapes or defending side control. And you have no one's even shown you the way. So you're just like defaulting to that, like, I'm going to push against this guy as hard as I possibly can. And that feels right, but it's not doing anything. So what am I supposed to be doing here?
Rather than, okay, he is about to mount me.
Yeah.
What do I need to stop him to getting what he wants and me getting what I want, which is get free from this situation. And that's a...
If you stick with it for long enough, though, that's the beauty of jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Some guy is about to get in a really dominant position and you know, okay, I can see that leg coming. That's my priority. I have to defend that. And you're focused and you're clear. And if you just take a minute to think about that from where you were, where you got mounted and you had no idea why or what to do, and now you're panicking, to then X amount of weeks, months, years later, where you can see it coming from quite far away and you execute the defense perfectly, and an aggressive opponent who's trying to pin you, you've just managed to deal with that situation. That's like a huge leap and a huge step forward.
Yeah. And that leap, it's almost like when every time you do it, there is a part of you that you're not aware of. That is also learning, like your body almost like is getting better at reacting on its own or moving on its own. Certain muscles are getting released.
Yeah.
And I mean, that happens with many other skills. Yeah. Think about, I don't know, like you're learning how to cook pasta recently. Like, I'm pretty sure, I'm not sure, but it's like, I don't know how was the first one you did.
Well, not, do you know what? It's just so strange. But I got given a gift, which was like an egg poaching set. Yeah. So typically when you poach eggs, you try and do that thing where you like spin the water and you put the eggs in and then like they come out, but they're all like weird, like eggy messes. So this thing is like, it's like a frying pan with these little cups. And you put the egg in, it cuts the egg. So I went through this whole process of this thing where I got really obsessed with like nailing the perfect runny egg. And like, the first ones were rubbish. So then it's like, okay, what do I change? What do I adapt? And then like you start to adjust like the amount of time in, the amount of heat, the amount of like oil you use, like how you get them out, how long do you leave them in with the heat off? And I remember thinking like, that's such a perfect analogy for anything in life. Like so many times in jiu-jitsu, do you try something and you're rubbish and you're annoyed? It's the literal first time you've tried that thing. And it's a complicated thing to execute, and to get really good at it, you're gonna have to do it loads and loads of times. But it's so funny, and I do this so many times where somebody shows a move, I try it, and I'm really bad, and I'm like,
ah, it's rubbish, it doesn't work.
What am I doing? Like, I'm never gonna do this move again, or like, I'm frustrated at myself. Like, you've literally just learned this thing. Like, at least give yourself some time and some patience. If, like, after 5 years of drilling that same thing, you're really bad at it. Yeah, maybe take a longer, hard look at yourself.
And I was telling you about this, that I heard a black belt saying that from white to black belt, your body is just learning how to move. You're not like, sort of so like, true. You're understanding the concepts and everything, but your body is getting ready for new moves.
Yeah.
And black belt is like a certificate that, okay, I can start learning jiu-jitsu now. I know how to move my body.
Yeah, you've got a license to move.
I understand the basics as much as possible, and I know how to move my body.
But this is the thing I had forgotten until I rolled with someone who was like almost brand new. And they were like, you're moving your hips in a certain way that I just don't understand. And as soon as he said that, I remember that exact feeling where their movement is just something I've never thought to do. Or like never even wanted or tried to do. And then you start on this journey where it starts to become ingrained into you and you do it. One thing I do think is a really, like, let's just imagine this scenario. A brand new person, so a brand new white belt, walks into the gym, thinks, you know, I've heard all these amazing things about jiu-jitsu. I really want to sign up. They do all that. They go to their first class. It's so hard to sit there and talk to that person and say, jiu-jitsu isn't necessarily about learning a technique. It's about the concepts of moving and where you move and what you're trying to achieve. Because until they have that grand knowledge of what you are trying to achieve and different routes to get there, their fixation is, teach me an armbar. Do you know what I mean? Or like, teach me a rear naked choke. And those are obviously important. They make up a lot of what we do. But how much more important is a concept of sweeping someone from open guard, or a takedown, like a good double leg takedown, or like a guard pass? The fundamentals of what you need to do to achieve a guard pass.
Even with the armbar. The understanding that what I'm trying to do is extend a limb
at a point
where it can break.
Yeah.
And sometimes you won't go, you'll see it in positions that you weren't expecting. You're like, oh, there is an extended limb there. What can I put against it to break it? And you're like, oh, okay, armbar, got it.
Yeah. But like, even so, being on someone's back, so your back against, your chest against their back, you have your legs wrapped around them. And then you have what we call a seatbelt, which is one arm goes over the shoulder, the other one goes over the other arm's armpit, and they connect together. Like, if you say to someone, okay, hold that position, that's actually way harder than it sounds. And when you do it and people know how to get away from it, it's really difficult and really tricky. Until someone starts to talk to you about concepts of, if you keep the pressure on opposite points, then that's going to stop them from moving. And then when you start to understand and develop that, that becomes your focus, as opposed to, I'm just going to try and choke this guy from behind.
There are a few things, I think, that come from learning, right, that I found quite interesting. One was, I remember when we talked to Russ.
Yeah.
And seeing he had a moment where he had to make a decision whether he was going to still keep studying medicine.
He'd got his degree and he graduated, and he was having interviews for pharmaceutical companies. But he said it was around the time that people were paying him to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And he admitted that it was a big risk for him to do. But ultimately, it could have been a bigger risk to have done something he hated for the rest of his life. And now every day he does something he loves, and it was so readily available.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the fear, though, isn't it? Like, if you can't see the path, if you can't see the financial security and what jiu-jitsu is eventually going to offer you, how do you take that leap of faith?
With anything, the thing that impressed me about that, it's after he made that decision, he made a commitment.
Mm.
It sounds like his commitment was to jiu-jitsu or something, but it's in a broader way, it's like his commitment to learning a craft.
Mm.
And that mentality, I think, changes a lot, because a lot of times when we try to just reach for our goals, our goals have a time limit that can be so short and so unrealistic, rather than, I am trying to learn this and I'm gonna do it well.
Yeah,
I have this time limit, but I also have the notion that I'm trying to learn this. I'm not trying to like build my fantasies of me achieving this thing. It's like, no, I want to do this and I want to do it well.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And how long it deserves to be done.
Which takes a commitment, and it takes a type of person to be able to accept that.
Yeah.
Like, again, let's take the white belt who's just turned up, paid the membership and gone on the mat. Imagine how many times any professor, any coach across the country has been asked, how long does it take to get a black belt? And they're like, you know, how hard are you going to work? It can take, you know, some freaks get black belts very quickly and are legitimate. I think like five years is the absolute quickest. But for the vast majority of people, it's somewhere around 10 years and upwards, I would say. I think that's generally just considered like what it is. You imagine saying that to that white belt. You know, where are you going to be in 10 years? Or like, where is your life headed? What trajectory are you on? Because you have to think 10 years ahead and hard work and a lot of commitment before you can even think about getting this. And to be honest, the odds are against you.
Yeah.
You're probably going to quit. And you're probably going to quit before blue belt. If not, you're probably going to quit at blue belt.
And the problem with quitting is that if you look at the reasons why you're quitting, they're good reasons.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, you can't hold it against people.
Yeah.
No.
And it's like, but when you look at things that we've learned throughout our lives, we learned how to read.
Yeah.
Now it comes like, you don't even remember how it was the first time you tried to read something.
Yeah.
You learned how to walk.
Uh-huh.
You learned how to talk. Like all these things, we learned them. We didn't know. My mom was telling me that I was born. around the time that there was still a civil war in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't leave the city much. And my mom was telling me that one time they we drove, first time I drove to, because even my grandparents moved to the city. So like we drove further away from the city into sort of like, my dad parked somewhere across the road and he goes out to the bush. It's like, yeah, go, you have to do your necessities. You have to pee and do a number two here. And I was like, how? There's no toilet. I was like 2 or 3 years old. I was like, there's no toilet. It's like, but that's something that I had learned, right? Yeah. And then I had to learn a new thing. Like, oh, I can do it here, right? Yeah, the thing is now, for example, with jiu-jitsu, one day we will look back and it might be hard to even remember how it was.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I forget so quickly, like those like early like months where you're doing it. I kind of just think in like big paint strokes of like how it was and what it is. But it's really interesting when you get someone brand new and then they start openly talking about their frustrations. And like, it's weird. Everyone that's been before us has said things that I find myself now being like, it's just so true. Like, just don't quit. Keep turning up. Work hard. Time on the mats. It will happen.
And it's like, it's almost like the hard work has to silence everything else, right? Like, has to silence that voice. Why am I doing well? It's like, no, it doesn't matter. Just keep working.
Just keep going.
Keep working. And I guess that's, I think a lot of, especially like the idea of like, I am trying to learn this craft and like, oh, I'm trying to learn how to do an armbar. Mm-hmm. It's like very different mindsets.
Yeah.
And one, it's more, I think trying to learn a craft is more for yourself.
Mm.
Like, you know, like you want to do something well that you like. And the other one is like, I want to do an armbar.
Yeah. And I do think a lot of people just want that almost instant gratification. Like, as soon as they get a taste of how hard it is and they start to glimpse how long the road is, I think that's when a lot of people are like, I'm not in it.
And also I think it gets the emotional part of it, right? Like, there are certain things that are frustrating, that, man, like till this day, we talk about this often, where I'm the guy that's impatient.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Not impatient in terms of like, yeah, I'm going to do this, how long it takes, but impatient midway in small spurts.
So
right?
Many times have you been smashing me and in my head I'm thinking,
whoa, that sounded wrong, bro. To clarify everybody, times I was getting the advantage on
dominating
fight. Yeah, exactly.
And all I'm thinking is, I'm just waiting for my moment, it will come. Like, again, I'm gonna get technical with the jiu-jitsu stuff, so anyone that doesn't do jiu-jitsu, my apologies. But do you remember that time when you just set up the perfect worm guard, you switched hands, you rolled around, you went to my back, you were literally about to take my back and then you let go of everything and I just walked away from you.
Yeah.
And I was like, but you got so close. Or like, you pass guard, you go side control, you trap the arm, you switch your hips, and then you're about to go and I just catch your leg and put you back in half guard.
Yeah, because literally it's, as soon as I pass the guard, I have the advantage.
Yeah.
And then
the pressure comes and the pressure is unreal and you're like, okay, this is all you. And then you just try and jump into mount
and get it. This is what I want. I want to finish this fight now. Right. And it's like this need to like, I want to finish the fight clear and done rather than reading what's in front of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At each moment. It's very difficult, but that's something that I guess like, it will come the more I do it and the more I practice that. And that's very different than, that's not necessarily practicing a move or a technique.
No, it's awareness and it's being comfortable in that position.
And it's some of my personality.
Yeah.
Right, so.
I mean, I think it is and it isn't. I guess maybe it is.
Wow, you can't give me credit.
I mean, like, I think you can sometimes get impatient, but maybe it's not impatience. Maybe it's losing sight of ticking all the checkpoints.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've seen mount, you want mount, but then you've just forgotten to be like, actually, I need to do this final little bit before I get there. Maybe it's impatience. Ricardo says to me all the time, he's like, bro, you need to be aware. Like, you need to see something. You need to not insist. Coach the other day was like, you insist. Like, you have something and you think, like, if I just hold on, that's a better option than giving it up. Like, you're not aware of what's going on. Another opportunity could have presented itself, but you're so fixated, you don't see it. Like, that's a big thing for me, where I'm not, you know, so, like, a little bit more removed from it, or a little, standing back just a little bit more. Yeah. Like, I could have this, but I just need to be aware that this could be there. And if it is, that could be a better option. Like,
we were talking about this the other day, that, for example, when we fight, sort of, it is that moment where we both just hold on,
yeah.
and we don't move. there are like a million techniques to be done.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to do my technique.
Coach is so annoying. He's like, you do something, anything. Yeah. But we do. We like lock horns and then... But in some ways, that's because I kind of know there's like two or three options coming my way. Like, you're either going to double collar drag me to try and do a takedown and pull half, or you're going to try and shoot a single or a double. Like, I know that's coming.
Yeah. It's quite interesting, because at the same time, it's like, I know that's coming. But then in the moment, it's like...
It could be anything. Yeah, roll a dice.
But also, like, your reactions in a moment are like, why the fuck did I do that? Right? It's like I knew that this was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and you look back, oh.
It is so frustrating. So, and then the other thing is as well, like, again, the way you learn, the way you get taught in jiu-jitsu is start here, do this, grab there, here you go. So then when it comes to a fight, you do that. But the problem is, if you grab here and move there and stop, the guy's just going to defend it or do something or push something. So, like, it's chaining things together to make them smooth. So it's not like grab here, do this. It's like, in one motion, I'm going to move from point A to point B. And all the things that need to happen on the way are going to happen, but it's going to be one after the other. Then to add another level of it, if someone still manages to defend, you then need an answer for that defense. And then you're playing the game. And I find myself still. Like, I tried to shoot the fireman's carry on Krakalandia, and I paused as I got under him, and he just collapsed on me. And he was like, "Bro, you just lost your momentum." And he collapsed on me and choked me, and I was like,
"Because you probably like went step one, step two, step three."
No, bro, I'll be honest with you. I was just kind of shocked I got to that position. I was like, "I'm gonna go for it." I got there, and I was like, "I have no idea what to do next."
it's tricky, like. I spoke with John about this, but like grabbing the idea of one thing I really like, that this is also something I started doing in other things from jiu-jitsu, is looking at the belts and being like, okay, I want to learn how to cook pizza, to make pizza.
Uh-huh.
What belt am I in making pizza?
Yeah.
You know, and kind of so that when I make a mistake, when I'm giving feedback back to myself,
uh-huh.
I give them a feedback that matches where I'm at.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if I, this is my first time making a pizza, and I mean, maybe if I burned a pizza, that's pretty bad, because I could have looked at the time. I could have been paying, so maybe I wasn't paying attention. But I don't know. Maybe if I put less cheese, I was like, is this a common mistake? Is this an uncommon mistake?
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because you don't want to be like, oh my God, bad pizza. Right. So it's like actually looking at other things and being like, okay, what belt am I in this? I'm learning how to drive.
Yeah.
What belt am I?
And belts are a good way in that respect. Like, they're a good marker. They're a good indication. And we've spoken before about, like, no two people are the same. So no two people's jiu-jitsu are the same. Like, you can get kind of close, like, good similarities. But ultimately, like, you can have a young blue belt who beats up an older brown belt. That doesn't mean that person's not a brown belt. And that's a lot about knowledge and who that person is. But a belt is kind of a good indication. Like, if you see someone rolling and you're like, they're not wearing a belt, and you're like thinking, oh, like, how long has he been training? What's he doing? Like, you want to try and evaluate him. As soon as he puts that belt on and you find, oh, he's been training this many years, and he's this old, it's kind of a good indication of his ability. You're like, okay, like, on the big map of jiu-jitsu, based on his belt, how long he's been training, his age and his competitions, whether it's kind of a good indication, I think. Like, there's a good marker in the sand of, all right, okay, you're on your way, or actually, you've got a bit further to go.
What is, who, like, from the people in the gym, like, watching, what do you think you've learned the most about learning, like, for example, from our coaches?
From learning?
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was drilling, like, the importance of drilling. So, like, Well, actually, the way we used to learn compared to the way we learn now, I much prefer the way we learn now. And I think in big part it's because I can be more consistent to all the lessons. So I can follow coach's path. But now it's less of dipping in. It's more of a journey. So it's more of a like a base, grounded, thorough explanation of what we're doing and how it fits and where we go. But the other thing is drilling, like structured drilling. So I guess the way to describe it would be like extracurricular learning, but it's focused around the course that you're doing. So let's say coach opens with, we do open guard. He shows a couple of techniques. And then outside of the normal lessons, I go for an hour and a half. I drill the things he's showing us. I don't do something random. Like I'm doing the things he showed us because it gives me chance to fail. It gives me chance to feel it. It gives me chance to explore things. It gives me chance to piece it together in my mind so that it makes sense. Come back to the next class with a couple of questions. Like, I know you showed this. We were doing this. What do you think of this? Structured learning outside of the normal lessons for me is massively important.
It's like a deliberate practice, like sort exactly. of like you. It's like not be like I like takedowns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because I think that's a big thing, like sort of getting distracted. Because there are so many things that are cool and exciting. Every time I remember after class, if we're drilling what we just learned, any of us would be like, "Hey man,
can I try this?
Can I try this? There's this thing I saw on YouTube." It's like and it's like, it's not that it's not good. It's just that maybe...
it's just not right now. Yeah. Like, we'll get there. I'm sure it will come. But like, I try and... yeah, at least for me anyway, I try and keep it relevant to like the path that we're on at the time. To supplement it, to augment it, to make it, fit within the context of what we're doing. As opposed to like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
And I think that's like trusting a lot of like... whoever is teaching you.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do just blindly assume that like what we're learning is right. Actually, do we? I think back in the day, maybe like it was harder. Like back in the day, there wasn't really a lot of verification, if that makes sense. So like you turned up to a jiu-jitsu class. There was a guy there that taught you jiu-jitsu. You kind of had to take his word for it that that was jiu-jitsu. I actually think that now, like the internet, Instagram, YouTube, like even like flow grappling, like you can have a fairly good idea from a limited amount of knowledge that like what you're learning is legit.
That's true. Like, I mean, I think like back in the days, there were all those guys that were fake black belts.
Yeah,
academies make millions. It's like it's interesting. One thing I noticed that I have. It's been a big deal for me. It's this idea of like, don't think so much of what's the end result or anything. Just try to understand what's here in front of you right now. Repeat it over and over and over and over. Yeah. It's like it's really easy to be like sort of sometimes focusing so much on the whatever goal you have in mind that takes away from. Do this right here, right now.
Yeah.
The goal will arrive.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. Do you think you've developed in the way you learned since you started? Like from day one to now, do you think that's changed or is it ingrained?
What do you mean?
So like, were you doing anything previously that you don't do now?
Yeah, man. Like I barely do close guard anymore. That was my only thing. I'll get somebody the guard. I got close guard, and like right now I'm trying to think of when I get the guard, it's attack.
Yeah.
It's attack. Put all the attacks into function. This is the only martial arts you can attack from your back.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah, that's so true.
So I guess like a bit of the mentality of it, sort of a little bit of that.
100%. Like you don't like disengage from a guard and stop. You disengage to pass. Exactly. Or if you sweep, you pass. Like it's non-stopping, you have to keep going.
And also the idea that things don't have to be a certain way, but trying to understand that, okay, I'm in this position, what does he need, what do I need,
exactly,
like sort of like when fighting, always trying to think of the concepts. And sometimes I feel like as long as if I lose but I understand why I lost, that's more important to me than before. It used to be like, I got me. Yeah. I had no clue what happened.
That's one of the coolest things when you're rolling and like there's a brief pause and there's like this mutual understanding of like a stalemate. Like, yeah. And you're like, and like, say you have a hold of something and you're not letting go, and they have a hold of something. And there's almost this moment of like, I know that if you let go, I'm up. Yeah. But if I let go, you're up. Like, it's, and that's when jiu-jitsu gets, that's when it's really, really intellectually fun, because you're playing this mutual game.
Or when we're rolling and I know you have two options. Mm-hmm. I don't know which one you have to make, and either make the wrong one. I'm like, oh, he got me with this one. So, like, I don't know which one of them right. you're going to pick.
I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast before, but Sharpay once had me in a position and he just goes, head or arm. And I moved and he goes, arm it is.
It's interesting at that, bro. Like, I remember Radic.
Mm.
Was just for 3 minutes straight, not five minutes, we're rolling.
Mm.
He was just catching me. Radic is a black belt,
and like a
on arm bars.
Arm bars, yeah,
arm same. Bars
horrific.
Go
horrific.
On and on and on. At some point I was like, if I defend
yeah
any of these arm yeah. bars,
it's almost like he's doing it to make you defend, because yeah. he wants the armbar from your defense.
Exactly.
It was just next level and quick and efficient and precise,
and you generally feel like you're a training dummy,
literally,
you know, like yeah, you're like yeah, oh yeah. which arm, like right left. And
someone said to me once, they were like, have you rolled a Radic? I don't know. And they were like, he just reminds you, like, this is what jiu-jitsu can be.
Interesting enough, he never competes.
No, he didn't want to, did he? From like a white belt, apparently.
Yeah.
He like tried it and was like, not for me.
Yeah, that's another thing that's quite interesting, is I guess with the learning, it's like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why am I learning?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are extremely good, just have any interest in competing.
Yeah. And neither should they, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
It's different strokes for different folks.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll leave a question here about what do you think jiu-jitsu has taught you about learning?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to send a few shout-outs today. First and foremost, talking about learning. There was a podcast that we did where we did a breakdown of our fights.
And, oh, yeah.
Recently, I actually got a message from someone who I fought against.
Oh, you told me about this. This was this was at the London Open. The London Open where you were late and then had to change your gi and then went on in like a blaze of glory. And you got through to the final, and you went up against a guy whose name you are just about to get for me.
Keegan. Yes.
Very super nice guy. Shout out to Keegan. You and Keegan rolled, and from what I remember, you had him in side control.
Yes.
Which I think you got from passing his half guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking at that and thinking, bro, he's moving around to the head. This guy's going to feel Iki's pressure. Like, it's on. And then like there was a pause and I was like, he must be feeling the pressure right now. And then something happened that confused everyone on the sidelines, our coach included. Keegan just stood up and it turns out you were unconscious.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. It was I had an over-under pass, which is a pass that I really like. It's like puts a lot of pressure on the hips. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he deliberately let me pass the guard and set up a choke from there.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I was out. The funny thing about going out is I thought there was a mistake. They woke me up and I was like, no, like, because it's not like I went out and I went flat out on the floor.
Yeah.
I went out for a few seconds and they just woke me up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what happened? Like, why did we stop?
Yeah.
And they're like, bro, you are out. So until I saw the video of me going out, I was like, I think there was a mistake in that fight.
But what was great is as you guys were coming off the match, our coach said to him, come here. He's like, I need to know. What happened? What did you do? And to be fair to Keenan, he told him, like, I've been drilling this move for ages. I saw the lapel was there, so I grabbed it. I thought, he's moving where I need him to move. It's probably just going to happen. So he put it on and he told coach, and coach was like, yeah, fair, fair. And then afterwards, when we were getting the medals, he was telling us about it. He was like, it just was there and I've been drilling it for ages, and he hit it.
That's a good example of learning. I realized that the reason why he choked me is because I didn't know.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You didn't know to think about it or defend it.
Nobody's ever done that to me before.
Yeah. A
few weeks later, Balaka.
Yeah.
Comes to the gym.
Uh-huh.
We're drilling takedowns.
Uh-huh.
I take him down.
Yeah.
I'm passing the guard. Guess what he's going for?
Oh!
He's going exactly for the same thing. He's going exactly for the same choke.
Yeah.
So I knew what to do.
Yeah,
I knew exactly what to do.
And look, this takes nothing away from Keegan, from your opponent. Yeah. Like, he's obviously got that move down. He executed it perfectly and to the point where it put you out. So all the credit. What I love even more, though, is the follow-up. So because of him, you went away, you learned the defense, you learned how to deal with it, and you were able to execute that. And through that failure has come an even bigger success.
And I think the thing that I learned from that was also like not just necessarily that specific position, but the idea that I felt someone doing something that nobody's ever felt before.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I got this, right? Yeah. Sort of overconfidence.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, okay, this guy had a trick in the bag that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool lesson.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Not cool, but but that was a really good
one. I mean, it's never cool waking up on the mats, is it?
Yeah. So, poem?
I think it's time.
You sure?
For poetry, Key.
Today, I'm going to read a poem that a friend sent to me recently, actually. She actually listens to the podcast, so shout out to Shakira.
Shakira?
Yeah, Shakira. That's not her real name. That's her rap name. A poem by Rudy Francisco. Sometimes I am a mess. Sometimes I am the broom. On the hardest days, I have to be both.
Beautiful.
Julio, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Shout out, everyone. Stay safe in these streets.
Oops.